Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Today we are talking about the JFK assassination. We have an author with us today. He's written a book called On the Trail of Delusion. It's Jim Garrison, The Great Accuser. Fred Litwin, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Wow. So this is your second book kind of revolved around the JFK assassination. What made you jump to this book? Like, this is a more specific book. The last one was that you were conspiracy freak, and now you've turned into a more rational person, I think, at the bottom line of it was. So what made you decide to go further into this?
Well, there were people, some of the conspiracy theorists online who reviewed my last book, and I had two chapters in my last book, well, one chapter on Jim Garrison and one chapter on Oliver Stone. And there were some critics who said, well, you know, I don't really like what Fred has written because he hasn't gone to see the new documents that were released by the Assassinations Record Review Board, particularly all the Jim Garrison files. And that was true. I hadn't gone through Jim Garrison's files. And at the same time that people were writing this, I got an email from somebody on a JFK list saying, all of Jim Garrison's files are now online at the National Archives. So I decided to start going through his files, and there's around 200 PDF files between 100 and 300 pages. And as I started reading Garrison's actual documents, his own memos, I started finding one crazy memo after another. And I started putting them aside until I had around 30 or 40 crazy memos from his investigation. And I decided, maybe I have a book here. And that's what got me into it, and I decided to travel across the United States, and I went to every archive anywhere in the United States that had primary Garrison documents, and I have looked at thousands of documents.
Right. Well, and if I remember in the first book, you were sort of, you were really talking about how Garrison, I think, was trying to just prosecute an innocent gay man, and that the Oliver Stone movie was very homophobic in a way. I think that's kind of was the essence of what you were saying, right?
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, Garrison went after, unfortunately, this innocent gay man and ruined his life in the process of charging him with conspiracy to kill Kennedy. It's a very, very sad case.
And that's David Ferry, right? Is that what it's
called? Clay Shaw.
Oh, Clay Shaw. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, Yeah, he charged Clay Shaw. David Ferry was another one of his suspects in New Orleans, but he died. And that caused Garrison to be suspicious of why he died. Of course, it was natural causes, and that's a whole other conspiracy theory.
So why are people so conspiratorial about this? Of course, it's the killing of the president, but all of these details come out. They seem so pinpoint. They're so aimed at a certain person or type of person or something like that. And where does this come from? What's it driving, and what do people hope to gain?
Well, what's driving it, I think, is a couple of things. First, there's some tribalism here, and people like to be in tribes and believe they have some sort of secret knowledge. But this is the grandfather of all conspiracy theories, the Kennedy assassination. And this is the one that spawns everything else, and it's the one that can explain everything. So if you want to explain American foreign policy today, you can go right back to the JFK assassination. If you want to explain the military-industrial complex, if you want to look at corporate politics, whatever, it all goes back, or you can claim it goes back, to the JFK assassination. And so it's the Rosetta Stone of conspiracy.
So now with Garrison, what's your thoughts on Jim Garrison? Like, from my own opinion and watching him on films and different things, I think he was an absolute crazy man. I think he was nuts. And I've been very vocal about that. I just don't trust him at all. So, but you've done research. What is your thoughts?
Well, he was in the Louisiana National Guard, and he had to. He was in the military. He had to be dismissed because of mental problems, and they said he was severely incapacitated by these mental problems, and he had to get treatment back in the 1950s. And so he lucked out and became district attorney, but he was a conspiracy theorist. He had delusions of grandeur, and he went after everybody. He decided that he would make enemies everywhere and intimidate people. He intimidated the police and the judges and the mayor and everybody in New Orleans, and to sort of gain more political power. And then he went down the JFK rabbit hole and destroyed people's lives. Several people's lives he destroyed in the process. It's a horrific, horrific case study of why you don't want a conspiracy theorist in government.
A bit late now, but that's I can say that. I mean, it's gone too far now. My God, what a mess it is now. So I just wonder, but so Garrison, did he have some sort of an agenda? Like, do you know where he was as far as, was he thinking that these people were like aliens or reptilian, or kind of what was his, was there a new world order he was fighting against? Was it communists? Do we kind of
well,
know?
I think at first, I mean, he was enamored with the Kennedy assassination because people were writing books in the summer of 1966, and he knew that Lee Harvey Oswald lived in New Orleans for 5 months prior to the assassination. So he thought, okay, maybe if there was a conspiracy, it was incubated in New Orleans. And in fact, there were a couple of leads that go back to 1963 that Garrison investigated back then with the FBI. So he decided to go back and check out these leads. And when they went nowhere, he sort of made up a conspiracy. And, you know, at first, what's really, really crazy is at first, because some of the people, some of his suspects were gay people, he decided that there was a homosexual conspiracy. And he started to tell people that this was a homosexual conspiracy aimed at Kennedy because Kennedy was a virile, straight man, etc. It was just ridiculous. And I think what happened was that as the critics of the war came to New Orleans to help him in his investigation, they sort of told him, look, that's a bit crazy. You've got to move away. The CIA is a much better target. Go for the CIA. And so he began to morph away from the homosexual angle into blaming it on the CIA.
And I guess it would probably have been easier back in the 60s to get away with saying it was the gays, homosexual agenda and that, because it was still illegal until 67. And, you know, even the psychology, the typical psychologist would say it was something you needed to fix. It was the homosexual problem.
Yeah, and in fact, I have a memo written by the assistant to the second in command of the Attorney General of Louisiana, wrote a memo to J. Edgar Hoover saying that Garrison was running a racket targeting homosexuals in New Orleans, basically arresting them and getting money out of them. Could you please investigate? They never did, but, you know, homosexuals were very, very easy targets for Garrison, and then it gave him a variety of people who he can force to be informants. And so there was a lot of awful stuff going on, and, you know, people in the gay community were sort of quite scared of Garrison.
Wow. What made him pick Clay Shaw specifically?
Well, it was the story of there was an overweight attorney, Dean Andrews, in New Orleans, and he was in hospital the weekend of the assassination. He had double pneumonia, he was under sedation, and he claimed that he got a phone call that weekend from a Mr. Clay Bertrand to ask him to go to Dallas and represent Lee Harvey Oswald. This was before Jack Ruby killed Oswald. And so the question was, who is this guy Clay Bertrand who called Jack Ruby, who called Dean Andrews? And the only clues he said was this guy, Clay Bertrand, was gay. And so there was an attorney in Garrison's office who said, well, who's gay? Who speaks Spanish? Like, this guy Bertrand spoke Spanish. And Clay Shaw, he also has the same first name as Clay Bertrand. Maybe it's Clay Shaw. And Garrison believed that homosexuals, when they use a pseudonym, don't change their first name. So he became fixated that Clay Shaw was this elusive Clay Bertrand.
Oh, boy.
Nothing like investigation skills.
And, in fact, and Dean Andrews kept on telling him, it's not Clay Shaw. You got the wrong guy. It's definitely not Clay Shaw. But Garrison wouldn't listen.
Wow. That's just crazy. I have to say this because there's this thing about there being a chapter on flying saucers. Like,
yes,
I have to ask, like, what is that?
Well, it's a crazy story. Again, once Garrison had his investigation, a lot of prisoners would send him letters that they had information, and he also got a lot of anonymous letters and phone calls. I mean, people were coming out of the woodwork to tell him about certain leads. And he got two anonymous letters at different times, and they sort of weaved this story about conspiracy and the assassination, look at these people, and they talked about, look into this guy, Fred Chrisman. Fred Chrisman was a writer. He lived in Oregon, and he was a teacher. He also was a radio host. And he said, look into Fred Chrisman. And all of a sudden, Garrison became fixated. Who is this guy, Fred Chrisman? And he eventually subpoenaed him, brought him to New Orleans to testify, and nothing came out of it because Fred Chrisman was certifiably a teaching high school when Kennedy was killed. But where flying saucers come in is back, the flying saucer craze started in 1947 with Kenneth Arnold when he was up in his plane and he saw these flying saucers. Well, a few months after that, this Fred Chrisman was working as a harborman getting logs at Puget Sound, and he concocted with one of his friends a hoax saying that they had seen these flying saucers, and they excreted some metal, and their dog was scared, and they created this big, big story. But what made it tragic was they convinced Kenneth Arnold that it was real, and he contacted the military, and the military sent out two investigators, and they quickly realized it was all ridiculous nonsense, But on their flight back to base, their plane crashed, and two men were killed. And all because of this hoax. And the FBI were called in. They investigated. Chrisman admitted that it was all a hoax, but they decided that they couldn't charge him with a crime because it was just an accident.
Just a crazy.
And so he became one of Garrison's chief suspects, and it was all nonsense. I think, in fact, Fred Chrisman was the one who wrote the letter just to get publicity out of Garrison.
Oh, it's just all crazy, you know. So what have you found that's new or something that's added to the case?
Well, and there's so much new in my book, and I've got all the documents in my book. My book is full of documents. What's really interesting, and it helps to, I guess, I live in Ottawa, Canada, to investigate part of this case. But after Clay Shaw was arrested March 1st, 1967, 3 days later, there was a communist-controlled newspaper in Rome, Paese Sera, and they ran a six-day series of articles claiming that Clay Shaw was on the board of directors of this World Trade Center in Rome, which was really a CIA front to fund right-wing extremists. And so they ran this six-part series, and in fact, Clay Shaw was on the board of this World Trade Center. And Garrison saw that, and that helped convince him that the CIA was behind everything. Well, also, the articles allege that there was a Montreal lawyer, Louis Bloomfield, also the major shareholder of this company. In fact, he wasn't a major shareholder, but he was a lawyer representing shareholders. Well, to make a long story short, Bloomfield lived in Montreal. He died in 1984, and ultimately his papers were donated to Library and Archives Canada they were opened in 2005. And I've been through his papers, and I have hundreds of his letters that he wrote to the managers of this World Trade Center, and there's nothing in there to support the allegations of that communist newspaper. And what makes it very, very tragic was that he was aware of the rumors about himself in 1907, and he was horrified by these rumors, and the rumors ultimately traveled from conspiracy theorists in Italy to, if you remember, Lyndon LaRouche?
Right.
He ran a horrible sort of conspiratorial left-wing organization back in the 70s and 80s. He published articles saying that Bloomfield was head of an assassination bureau. And
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bloomfield wrote to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police about these articles because he was scared for his physical safety. So I have all of these documents in my book, and it helps prove that there was nothing to this communist newspaper series. And in fact, it very well might have been a KGB operation to help convince people the CIA was behind the assassination.
Oh, Russia did it.
It's a truly incredible story, and I have CIA documents in my book. I've got State Department cables. I've got all the primary documents about this in my book.
Now, you're going to get a lot of pushback on this sort of story. So how are you going to handle that? Like, what's your worst fear? Like, what kind of things are you expecting to get?
You know, there'll be a lot of the pushback comes from people who won't read my book, and that happened last time. There was pushback on some of the conspiracy sites. In fact, there was one conspiracy theorist who would only review the reviews of my book because he wouldn't read my book. And so there's already pushback already, but because a lot of conspiracy theorists won't read stuff like mine, it makes it hard for them to argue against me. So I'm hoping that I can really goad them into actually reading my book so we could finally debate and address some of the central issues that I raise. That's the big challenge. I have the documents in my book. And I've been across the U.S., so I have the documents to argue my case.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the people that have a conspiracy or a theory or an idea, they're locked into it, right? They don't really want to have that chipped apart because that's kind of their identity, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of their tribe. It's part of who they are. They have this secret knowledge. And if you challenge them that this so-called secret knowledge that they have and share with others is not right, they get very defensive, they get very angry. I get a lot of angry comments all the time in social media. But all these people won't touch my book. And I've also tried very hard to make sure that my book was priced appropriately for everybody. The e-book of my book is only $2.99. So I've made it very, very affordable for everybody.
Yeah, and that's cheap because it's almost 500 pages, right? So.
Yeah, it's just under 500 pages.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good price for it. Wow. So what do you hope people get out of it if they do read it?
Well, the Garrison story is one of the most horrible examples of errors in American jurisprudence. It's an awful story, and people don't know it. And so, it's a warning sign about when you elect people, whether it's a district attorney or anybody else. Be careful who you elect. Make sure you understand what some of their crazy views are, because if you elect them, you're going to have to live with some pretty outrageous stuff. And in Garrison's case, it wasn't he ruined Clay Shaw's life, but there were other people that he really, really ruined as well. There was a Cuban man, Carlos Breguer, in New Orleans. His wife was so worried about him being arrested by Garrison, She had a miscarriage. There were people who lost their jobs because of Garrison. There was one 21-year-old who I talked to, still alive today. He's now 74, Albo Buff. I talked to him. He was bribed by Garrison, and they actually, his lawyer was smart enough to put it on, catch it on tape. So they had a tape bribe, and Garrison's men followed him around continually. He couldn't get a job because Garrison's men would visit potential employers and tell them not to hire him. And so they forced him to come in and sign a statement that he was not bribed. It was the only way he can get Garrison off his back and get a job. Still alive. I talked to him. He'll tell that story to anybody.
Yeah, so there, he was really out of control. There was nobody that really kind of reined him in at all, was there?
Well, nobody would. Not only that, not only did nobody rein him in, but he really discovered the power of the district attorney. So he had the power to subpoena anybody to come to testify before the grand jury. And one of his favorite techniques was to have you testify before the grand jury. You couldn't bring in a lawyer. You couldn't take the fifth. And he would then, when you were finished, charge you with perjury, which is a felony offense. Once you were charged with perjury, you would have to get a lawyer. It cost you money. But you also couldn't travel out of the parish. You'd have to get permission to travel. And it made it hard to get a bank loan, get a job. It was a very, very tough thing for people to deal with. And then at the last minute, he would drop the charges. And so people were scared of Garrison. You never knew what he could do. He had a lot of power, and he was not afraid to use it. And so I have a lot of stories in my book of how he intimidated witnesses, bribed witnesses, used his power to scare people. It's very, very sad. It's frightening, in fact.
So now he was charged, wasn't he, or was he? I thought, wasn't he charged for bribery or something?
Yeah, he was charged with bribery. There was basically back then pinball machines were popular, and there was a lot of gambling, illegal gambling on pinball machines. And so he was indicted for bribery, and they had his former chief investigator wore a wire, and they taped around 375 conversations with Garrison. He took around $147,000. Over the years. Back then, that was real money. And he was charged, and he fired his lawyers halfway through the trial, took over his own defense, and convinced the jury that he was not guilty. He was acquitted. But I put one of the conversations on tape in my book, which is quite damning.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But it shows you the power that someone can have in a position like that, and you can just say what you want and get away with what you want, really.
Yeah, and I think people in New Orleans appreciated the fact that he was entertaining. You know, every day he would be in the newspapers with some big headline where he would accuse somebody of something, charge somebody with something. He was entertaining, and the people of New Orleans sort of liked that. You know, he was also a very good talker. He's a smart guy, so he could think on his feet. He had a deep, booming voice. He was very well read. He could quote from Shakespeare, and he had a very good sense of humor. So he was the perfect interview target for anybody because he would always say something funny. And so he entertained people, but underneath that veneer was a deeply disturbed man.
Hmm. You know, he sounds a lot like the current president, except for you said he's intelligent. I was going to ask if he's a relative. But,
I'll stay out of American politics.
Oh, yeah. So did you ever talk to John Barber about this or anything? He's the one that did the Dick Garrison tapes. Have you had any opinion or any comment from him?
I have not talked to him. I have watched the Garrison tapes, and I've watched his stuff. I have to laugh because last year he put up on YouTube a video that he had discovered new Garrison documents, and he was posting documents on his website, but of course they weren't new. They were the old Garrison files, and he made a video about Fred Christman and how Fred Christman was the key to the case. He's taken down all those videos, so I don't know why. I haven't talked to him. I don't think he, you know, I'm at some point maybe I will and should. We're actually friends on Facebook. But I think that he just doesn't appreciate the nonsense that was being spouted from Garrison.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it just sounded like he was kind of a little off, and he got away with what he wanted. And, you know, it's just too bad that this happens. It's an amazing story. So now there was one other part I want to talk about, and that was the former Marine.
That was right, yes.
Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, there were a couple of authors in 1965-66, Richard Popkin and Harold Weisberg, who wrote that there was a second Oswald. Now, you know, like any major investigation, this was a nationwide investigation. It's not surprising that you get all sorts of reports of people seeing Oswald in different locations. You see this in any major investigation where people call with tips that don't pan out. And so there were reports of Oswald being here, there, and wherever. And instead of chalking it up to, well, that's what happens when there's major publicity, these two authors said, well, there must be a second Oswald. And this would explain why there's all these sightings. There's a second Oswald, and it's trying to do things that are incriminating to make it appear like he is guilty. Well, these authors were in touch with Garrison, and Garrison started believing that perhaps there was a second Oswald. And one of his candidates of who that second Oswald was Kerry Thornley, who was a Marine buddy of Oswald, served in the Marines with Oswald in 1959 out in California. And Thornley had lived in New Orleans for a couple of weeks in September 1963, and Garrison started to believe that perhaps Thornley was impersonating Oswald in New Orleans. It was all nonsense. Thornley had never met Oswald in New Orleans, and Garrison decided to actually charge him with perjury for denying it. And it's a horribly silly story, and Thornley was subpoenaed, he was arrested, he had to post bond, he had to come to testify, and Garrison eventually dropped the charges years later. But it's a really silly story, and I tell it with a lot of documents again from the case.
So was Garrison ever successful on any of these ideas or theories he had surrounding the JFK assassination? Did he have any success at all?
Well, he had one major success, one huge success. And the success was that he eventually wrote a book about his life and about his investigation, and Oliver Stone ate it up. And so his big success was Oliver Stone paying Garrison $250,000 to license his book for a movie. That was a huge success for Garrison.
But in court, or he never had any, did he?
No, well, the only success he had in court was he charged that lawyer Dean Andrews with perjury, because Dean Andrews wouldn't say that Clay Shaw was Clay Bertrand. And Dean Andrews had made so many contradictory statements over the years that, of course, he was convicted of perjury. Not because we knew what the truth was, but he just said all these crazy things. To Garrison, that was a huge victory. To Dean Andrews, it really, you know, helped ruin him to a large degree.
Hmm. It's terrible. So whatever happened.
That was it. There's nothing else.
Yeah. What happened to Garrison? How did his life end up?
Well, his life, you know, Garrison basically, after He was defeated in 1972. When he ran for district attorney, he was defeated by Harry Connick, Harry Connick Sr., who was the father of Harry Connick Jr. And then Garrison eventually was elected to become a judge in Louisiana. And from there, he tried to convince the House Select Committee on Assassinations that his leads were really, really good. And he wrote many memos to the House Select Committee on Assassinations, and none of his leads panned out. And they even wrote about how investigation was. And so the only avenue left after that was for him to write a book, On the Trail of the Assassins, which came out in 1988. And Oliver Stone licensed that and came out in 1991 with his movie JFK, which Garrison was in. Garrison had a cameo role playing Earl Warren. And right after the movie, Garrison died at the age of 70.
Hmm. Pretty interesting story all the way around. So now, Fred, do you have a website or something that people can go to if they want to find out about you or more about your writing?
Yeah, it's onthetrailofdelusion.com. And I have a lot of documents on my website. I have a blog that I keep up every day with primary Garrison documents, pictures, reviews, etc. A lot of really interesting material. So it's onthetrailofdelusion.com.
Fantastic. Now, so we'll have that on our website as well. People listening, they can do one click and it'll take you right to your website and go from there.
Well, thank you.
It's a pretty interesting story, and I hope it does well. It's good to have some rational thought behind the JFK assassination and Jim Garrison. So,
thank you very much. It's an incredible story.
Okay, our guest has been Fred Litwin, and the book is On the Trail of Delusion. It's Jim Garrison, The Great Accuser. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's been great to be with you.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Have been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.